You are listening to Art Not Science, presented by the Physics Room Contemporary Art Space, a monthly podcast of artist talks, panel discussions, and other events.
Tēnā tātou katoa. Nō mai hoki mai ki tēnei kaupapa kōrero o The Physics Room. Nō mai, whakarongo mai, whakatau mai. My name is Abby Kinane and I'm the director of The Physics Room, a contemporary art space dedicated to developing and promoting contemporary art and critical discourse in Aotearoa. Based in central Ōtautahi since 1996, we assist artists with resources and opportunities to enable creative and professional development and work to support the acknowledgement and understanding of contemporary art among New Zealanders. Our goal is to actively seek links between the arts and other areas of cultural production, and to involve art as a contributing voice in wider intellectual, social, and political debate. Nō mai hoki mai. Welcome to episode 35 of Art Not Science. In this episode, we are sharing a panel discussion from our current exhibition, Te Whakawhitinga, with artist Jeremy Liatanu, cinematographer Ian Powell, and film narrators Hunara Kā and Puata Albie McCree. Te Whakawhitinga is a haerenga. It is not a long film, about 11 minutes in total, but the geography it covers stretches from Te Tai Tokoro in the north to Ōtautahi and Te Waipounamu, from early adulthood to old age, and from the time of Te Pakanga Tuarua o Te Ao, World War II, to the present. The work tells the story of a young man enlisting, leaving his family's farm in the far north and taking the train line south to begin military training. While it stems from a specific historical account, Te Whakawhitinga reflects on many other stories of people leaving home and familiar things, struggling and adapting to new situations, and only returning home in their later years. Commissioned by the Physics Room, work on this project began in early 2021. Since then, Liatanu and Powell have travelled from Tāmaki Makaurau, where they both live, to Northland and down to Canterbury multiple times, recording extensive footage of land, sea, and rural life, which are brought together in the final film. During the course of the project, Liatanu and Powell chose to work with black and white 16mm film only. This was a commitment to the tone of the story and to CinemaScope format with space for the horizontal reach of the landscape. Now, let's hear from the panel.
Kia ora mai tātou. Thank you for your patience. I'll set that up. My name is Abby Kinane. I'm the director of the Physics Room. I just want to welcome you all here. It's so good to have you, just to share a bit of space and time and some kōrero before we open the show. I might just start with a really quick introduction about, I started working here about a year and 4 months ago, and probably in the first week I made a phone call out to Jeremy Liatanu, who was a friend and an amazing artist, and I said, I'm going to be here for 3 years, like let's get a kaupapa started, like let's make a movie. I probably didn't even say let's make a movie, I was just like, let's do something together. And this, what we're going to see after this talk is the fruits that came out of that initial conversation I made in that first week. So I feel pretty proud right now. I'm a little bit moved as well that we're here today. So Jeremy Liatanu, Albie Puata McCree, who's one of the actors that you'll see in the film, voice actor in the film, Ian Powell, who's the cinematographer, and Papa Hunara Kā, who's another one of the famous movie stars in this video. I don't have so much more to say. I think I'll just hand over to you guys and you can share what you've come to share, and then maybe at the end of the kōrero we can have some Q&A time as well. Kia ora.
Tēmata ki a koe, nō whē koe.
Oh, tēnā nō tātou, he uri ahau nō ngā kuhi, nō ngā tikahu ki Whangaroa hōki, i tau tōku māma, nō pāpuhi, te iwi, nū tōnu, ko māmaru te waka, nō mā tātou waka hōki, tēnā nō tātou. Tau tōku pāpa nō Barbados, me St. Vincent ahau. Yeah, he uri ahau mō wera whakapapa e rua. Kia ora, I'm Alvi. I've known Jeremy for ages now.
Sounds that's cool.
And have kind of woven in and out of each other's lives, and so it was really nice to have the opportunity to jump back in here and work alongside him and really bear witness to the way that Jeremy and Ian as artists and creatives work alongside each other with such respect for each other's talent and give each other space to do what each does best. And there's a lot of humour and a lot
but a lot of deep thinking that they do with every work that they bring forth. And so it's just been wonderful to be a part of it, and I'm glad to be here. My son is at University of Canterbury first year, so it's awesome to be able to come down and see my boy too.
Yeah. So Jeremy, let's not talking on Ngāti Maniapoto and Ngāti Hamohoki. So my name is Jeremy. I hail from Ngāti Maniapoto, King Country in North Island, as well as the villages of Makawai and Wailua in both, one in Upolu, one in Savai. Kia ora, tēnā koe.
Kia ora.
I just want to mihi atu John. John is the master behind the sound design of this film, so he is in Te Wai Pounamu as well. So tēnā koe, eho. Ai, I'm not going to talk too much. You have your turn now.
Yeah. Kia ora, my name's Ian Powell. I worked on as the cinematographer on this project, and I have been working with Jeremy since I think about 2016, 2017, on various projects. I am from Te Wai Pounamu, and my family has a farm near Springston South, near Te Wai Hora. That's it. Yep, that's me.
Kia ora, I'm Hunara Ka from Ngāti Porou, Rangitukia, and Te Taho Tukumama no Tukumaru Bay. So both sides of Ngāti Porou. And the ka whānau, I think our famous in film was Wee Cookie Ka, even my first cousin, but I'm not star like him. However, my first venture into Kiriata is narrator here.
I don't know, where should we start?
Do you want to, what about starting with kind of where we started in the kōrero, well, when we kind of zeroed in on what the core kaupapa for this was, and that conversation you had with your kōrero?
So when going back to that conversation you said about when you called me and you said, you're here for 3 years, let's do something. We talked about a little bit about perhaps this idea of movement, and in particular, Abby was informing me about this idea that she had, where movement from the water, from the ocean through to streams, and then perhaps moving inward to, I suppose, to the mountains. And then that kind of got me thinking about the cyclic nature of water. And that kind of, I suppose, seeded the potential of another kōrero or another story, which still was connected to that idea of movement. And one of the things I find quite often when I come to the South Island is that I very much feel like a visitor. It's like the landscape and the people and even the language is so different to what I'm familiar with that I'm always reminded that I'm a visitor when I'm here. And I suppose that's kind of really what the film talks about in a way. It speaks about being in a place that is so, you're so far removed from everything that you know. But it's not necessarily so much a scary thing, it's something where you're in awe of. You're in awe of the difference, the major difference in landscape. And so I thought, well, what could be two massive opposing pillars that could help anchor a story? I was thinking, well, one, there's the North Island, there's the South Island, there's big body of water that separates the two, but also there's also a major difference in terms of mountainscape or plant life or bird life or, again, language and practices and traditions and histories. And so I thought, okay, well, if the story is going to begin in the North Island, whereabouts could it start? And in a previous film that Ian and I worked on, that one was also set, kind of spoke about one's tūranga waiwai or one's connection or whakapapa to whenua or land. And that one spoke about my karaua and his connection to Tautoro, which is south of Kaikohe. So I thought, well, Northland, can't get any different to Te Wai Pounamu than Northland. So that kind of helped set one pillar. In some ways, the other pillar was already set because of the gallery and its location in Te Wai Pounamu. So yeah, that's what really started the foundation for the story. I don't want to talk too much about the story because I'd rather let you guys watch it, but in terms of creating a foundation for the story, creating pillars that showed you quite a drastic difference between them was quite important.
You are listening to Art Not Science, presented by the Physics Room Contemporary Art Space.
Can I ask you about, I remember this next sort of moment where it's like, actually with my experience with talking to you from a distance about this film, like over whatever it is, a few months now, that it kept kind of like opening out and opening out. And one really significant part of that was when you told me you were going to work with Alvi and then work with Hunara as well. Can you talk about like how that, I mean, that really shocked me. I was like, what? Is there actors in the film? Is there other people?
No, Papa.
Shocked us too. Yeah. We're just
talking. Oh, Jeremy's renting up in there.
Yeah. No, Papa, can you remember that conversation I had with you? I think I just called you out of the blue. Yeah, hey, what are you up to?
I think that's how it happened. He just said, oh, I need a co-martyr to narrate the film. And you're the only one I could think of. I thought you'd heard of Wee Cookie. So you got the wrong idea. Rang me. And so worked from there. But how we'd met, obviously, was we went to Takiura together. And then, did a year, doing this immersion stuff. And then did another year in Ronakitanga. So 2 years together, we knew each other pretty well. Mm. And that's kind of, how you got on to me and said, would you do it? I said, I'll be on it. Yeah. Mm. Narration? Never done one of those before. So, that. And when we first did it, I just thought it was like a, it's like an interview, on TV. I did it my way to start like that. I thought, that's how you do it. And then when I finished, Jeremy said, no, not like that. Let's start again.
It's hard to say to, someone who I respect, say, oh, no, that's not how I want it. But Papa Hunara understood that, we're storytelling and there was a character that, that we were trying to bring out of the pages of the script. And so, Papa Hunara and I have known each other for a few years now, and it's not the first time that I've kind of managed to pull you into a film, because that film I was talking to you about, which is in relation to my karaua, where we filmed up in Tautoro, one of the props that we used was actually Papa Hunara's guitar. It was the perfect colour for it, for that particular scene. So in some ways, I keep pulling Papa Hunara in it, into these films, but it's also part and parcel of us trying to, because outside of that, we have our catch-ups. It's an opportunity for the both of us to kōrero Māori. It's not like we both live in households that have strong Māori speakers. And, I'm the only one in my household. Papa, you're quite fortunate because your wife speaks te reo Māori. Yeah. So for us, it's also part of the kaupapa is te reo Māori as well. And that's kind of how I managed to persuade Papa Hunara to be part of the show, part of the film.
Yeah, I found it very difficult to, you think narrating, easy, just talk. It's not really difficult in a film like this. I had one other experience in drama. When I was at high school, for the first time, I was at Te Ari College, and the first time ever we had a drama group, wouldn't say a club, but a group, and we entered the school competition in Central Hawke's Bay, and we did a play called The Happy Journey. Thornton Wilder, American play, you may have heard of it. We did that, and of course, there's no girls at Te Ari College, it's a boys' school, and so some of us had to act the part of a woman. Girl, I was a woman, and my mate Hipa Paiwa, he was a girl, and then the other two were men parts, and we won. We won the Southern Hawke's Bay competition. We won it. But what happened was that Happy Journey is a comedy, and us being guys, we thought, well, we'll ad lib in this. We'll do our bit. And our English teacher, who was choreographing, I guess you'd call it, said, no, don't want any of that. So we had to do exactly as she said. And then we went in the Hawke's Bay competition in Napier. And we didn't win that, but there were three stars for the night. And I was one of them. And the other two were girls from school called Woodford House. And I know it wasn't because of me. It was because I had to listen to the to our English teacher, and she told me exactly how to, you know, do this, all the movements, and how I'm to speak. Have a good time, bye. You know, all that stuff, acting, and I just did it. I just did exactly like her, and I became a star, one of the stars of the night. Thanks, totally to her, nothing to do with me. And same with this. I just said to Jeremy, I told him I'd had this experience and that I've got the talking all wrong, so I'm just going to have to do like what I did back then at school, and you have to tell me exactly, and I'll do everything just exactly as you say. So if it comes out all right, it's not me, it's him.
Oh, you, Papa, oh, you. And then I think, so when I, at the time when I kind of floated the idea to you about being part of the film, you were already involved in writing a script for a film, right? So it was great because you were already in that headspace of making a film. And but I think I mentioned it to you as we were leaving. I said, oh, I'll get in touch with you about a film. And you're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then a few weeks later, I touched base with Alvi and sent you the script to have a read and, you know, kind of see what you thought about it. And like previous films that Ian and I have made, majority of the time, it's always been my voice. So this is kind of the first film where I'm not actually speaking. And I've always wanted to have a bit of a diverse, or at least some options, or at least a range of different tones. And I thought, one, I've known Alvi for a long time now, and I also knew that Alvi was confident in speaking te reo Māori, which is, you know, quite an important part of this film. But I also wanted to have a female voice in the film. And actually, we spoke a lot about it leading up to the actual shoot. And I had also asked Alvi if she wouldn't mind. Well, I suppose Alvi was like, oh, you know, the way I wrote the script is in my own dialect. And I knew that if Alvi was going to come on board with the film, that some of those words she's probably not familiar with, or it'd just be foreign to you, to her. So I was like, well, any words you don't like, just change them and use your own reel. You know, I said, if anything, like, the character's supposed to be from Northland, you're from Northland, so, you know, don't use my Tainui dialect, use your own dialect. And that would help, I suppose, make the character sound more authentic, I suppose.
There was a little bit of to and fro, me going, no, this is a real word, and Jeremy going, oh, I don't know if you should say it that way. Where I come from, this is how we say it. So there's a little bit of back and forth, but it was nice to kind of find a balance of, this is how we would say it, and then, oh, this is the actually grammatically correct way. Okay, well, let's find a way that will make sense to anyone who speaks to the Māori and hears it. They'll still know what you're saying, and they'll know that, okay, that's Northern dialect. That was a fun challenge.
Yeah.
What about, you know, it's like te whakawhitinga, it's like crossing a huge stretch of whenua, as you said. Did you encounter like other things and thinking like different tikanga in different areas, different, you talked about difference right at the beginning. How did you experience that making the film?
I think making anything during these times was really difficult. You know, as we talked about, you know, the idea kind of popped up at the beginning of the year. The script wasn't actually put together until mid-year last year, or at least a proper version of it. And the first thing me and Ian wanted to do was to come down here and visit some locations we thought would be perfect for the film. And thankfully we got down here just in time, because a week later, I think the country went into lockdown. And so, and that lockdown kind of lasted for quite a while, and that kind of pushed our schedule probably back by a month or two. So, I mean, it's interesting because I think everyone here has had some sort of relationship with Te Wai Pounamu in different ways. Like Papa Hunara's lived in Twizel for about 6-7 years before returning back to the North Island. You just spoke about your son, you know, studying here. So that kind of is an anchor that's pulling you back here, I suppose. And Ian, you know, he's from here. If anything, a lot of the locations were probably locations that held memories for you, right?
Yeah, I think some of them. Mm. I mean, some of them are, you know, very local for me. Yeah. Certainly I've spent time in all of those places. But again, that was a selection, a scheduled tightness rather than a, yeah, we just had to realistically see what we could achieve in really tough time. I think particularly being in Auckland, and Auckland being particularly hard hit by the pandemic, just made things very difficult and tiring for both Jeremy and I. Because to actually take a trip, you have to, we had to face in the first trip the fact that we might be locked down here, like we may not get back. So what you've got to do is try and schedule your work. But you know, that's quite a common story in the creative industries right throughout New Zealand. So I wouldn't want to overblow that. But it was, I think, for many reasons, it is, from my experience, a COVID film. Because some of the things actually benefited from that. Mm-hmm. The main one for me is I was forcefully unemployed by the government and paid. So let's make an art film. No, really, it wouldn't have happened without the... Yeah. I mean, I know John is the same. We wouldn't have survived without the government resurgence and payment. And that's one thing I praise this government for, is actually how quick they came to the rescue. You put your application in, and by the evening, the money was there. No questions asked. Mm. It was a big factor. I think the classic one is when it was February, when we were coming down for February. Mm. I don't know what time we were getting on a flight, but we got on the flight. I know it's kind of midday. I'd been stuck in traffic in Auckland. I got to Jeremy's. We just looked at each other at the door, and it was like, why are we doing this? Because we both had no sleep, you know, for quite some considerable time to try and clear decks. So again, if we potentially got locked down, you know, or all these things. So yeah,
I suppose like the reason why I want to start there with that question is because the difference between, I suppose, this film and the previous films was lockdown was a major part of how this film was made. And I suppose some of the boundaries that were pushed was because we had to push them. I think traveling up north 2 or 3 times for the film, you know, that's about 500 Ks one way. And then traveling down here and then doing probably 800 or 900 Ks in one day, going from Te Kopo all the way to Kaikoura in the same day and then coming straight back to Ōtautahi. No, I think in terms of tikanga around making the film, it was very different.
Yeah, there were some aspects of tikanga that you had to take care of via email.
Yeah.
In terms of some of the scenes.
Yeah.
Because it just wasn't feasible to, you couldn't have a 2-day wānanga about this. You just had to go, like, who do we know, who can we ask, you know, and go that way.
Yeah.
You are listening to Art Not Science, presented by the Physics Room Contemporary Art Space.
To me, there's another quite major difference. Like, if I think back, I'm sure some people here know some previous works of Jeremy's as well. Actually, the first book of yours I saw was some stills from you sitting in Victoria Park, like having an eye contact, staring gaze with competition with Queen Victoria there. But even previous films, like, they've always seemed to me to be like primarily really poetic films. They definitely have a narrative aspect, but this is like a real story. Does it feel different to you? Like, is that a big shift for you?
Big time. Yeah. I think if anyone was to look at the promotional imagery and see who's been involved in this film, it's the most people that I've had the opportunity to work with. And so this is very much a film as opposed to, I don't know, as opposed to maybe an art film.
Yeah.
Or as opposed to me doing a performance and video recording it. It's me working with people who, like Ian and John, Tim as well, who are absolutely committed and dedicated to the craft that they perfect or that they work within. Sometimes when you're working with people like that, it's actually, it makes my job easier in a way, because all I need to make sure is that I'm providing enough space for them to be able to make creatively in the way that they want. And then when they perhaps need some sort of direction, then I can kind of jump in. But I think when you're working with people like that, it definitely helps unpack the story even more, either visually or you know, through sound or audio or music. So in some ways, it's, this work in particular is a major leap.
Can we just talk quickly about some nerdy film stuff of like why you decided to work with 16mm, why film in the first place? Like, I thought you're making a digital film. Wow. And you know what? They kind of did. And it was so beautiful. And I was like, we're good. Like, it's in the bag. It's great. And then you kind of started again. So it'd be good to hear about those decisions. So
that trip we took in August last year, we hadn't determined what format we were going to shoot this film. So we were like, okay, let's just take everything. Let's take a digital camera and let's shoot on... We had two types of film, right? It was reversal and...
Three types.
Yeah,
black and white reversal, black and white negative, and colour reversal,
right.
And digital. So we actually kind of had four things we wanted to test. Yeah.
And we'd make the decision when we got back to Auckland and after the film had kind of been developed and we kind of had time to look back on it. It's actually funny because I think Ian and I had kind of been going back and forth in terms of, oh, no, I think digital. And he's like, oh, no, I think film. And, you know, oh, no, I think the colour is really great. The colour film is really great. And actually it took a while to kind of get to that decision. But again, like, I'm working with someone who's committed to the craft, who's dedicated to the craft, who's protective of the craft, and same for John. And so he eventually, I understand where he was coming from in terms of how film is able to tell the story that I had in my head and that perhaps the other formats would have given a completely different feel. One of the things that Ian and I have always talked about, and it's something that Ian has always asked me over the last 5 years, is let's shoot and film. And I always said, no, I don't want to shoot and film. I'm stuck on digital. Like, these stories that I'm writing, I think it's best in digital. But this time around, this one was, I think, this story was meant for 16mm film and film that we actually filmed on. Because I suppose the nature of recollecting or reminiscing or trying to bring forth this idea of someone remembering a time that is completely different to now. And Ian reminded me of that. If anything, I'm very much a student of the people that I'm working with. So, yeah.
I think that was the technology at that time, wasn't it, in the 60s?
Yeah. Something I really love, like, watching this film a few times too, is how there's so many different places, and I feel like for everyone, there'll be someone who's, like, so familiar, and they've got so much intimate knowledge, like, more than you guys of those places, and that's just in the film, and it's, like, safe and held in those landscapes. It's almost like by not naming them and not telling their story, you just like leave that, you just respect the manner of that place, and that's for someone else to know.
Yeah, talking about, I don't want to talk too much about the story, but the part of it about reticence or shyness about saying where you come from, in my younger days, I still remember that strongly about the feelings, the intertribal feelings, particularly in Ngāti Porou, where I come from. The elders there absolutely didn't like Ngāpuhi because they still remembered them coming down, you know, and attacking. Now, perhaps I'll put this in a time perspective. When we were at Taki, remember I went over to Belgium. My uncle, Dad's brother, was killed in the First World War. And we went to his 100th, the day he was killed 100 years ago. We did a sort of unveiling. We went to Belgium and it is headstone. Now that's 100 years ago, and yet that's basically still connected to my generation. Like, that's Dad's brother. He was born, I don't know, 1880 or whatever, and he went off to war. Well, 1890s, anyway, in the 1800s. And so that generation, I mean, he would have been a boy, but he would have been remembered the people or known people that were at, you know, those, when Ngāpuhi came with the muskets and beat us up, there would actually be people alive that he would have known. Mm. So it's not that long ago. But now, our generation, that's now changed. You know, we're the oldies now. And we kind of just let that all go. These my uncles, I remember them saying, you know, Ngāpuhi, no, and Te Arawa, they're the other ones, we don't like them either. And so what happens, you know, in the new generation to come, well, what does my son do? He goes and marries a Ngāpuhi. So my grandkids, yeah, my grandkids are all Ngāpuhi, so I can't get too upset with them. And what does my daughter do? She marries a Te Arawa. So all my grandkids are Te Arawa. So that's all sort of died away now, but it's in that, you know, school.
Yeah.
And it's a real thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, he kōrero tāu.
Engari.
You are listening to Art Not Science, presented by the Physics Room Contemporary Art Space.
Albie, what was your experience making the film? Like, I know you have the art practice as well, and you're like, you guys went to art school. I met you, like, at Elam, working in the art school. Can you just talk, I mean, how did that feel?
I really enjoyed, Jeremy's right, I was in the middle of script writing and playwriting at the same time, so yeah. It was nice to have someone else's words to deal with, and it was the perfect procrastination opportunity to be working on someone else's words. And it was in Te Reo Māori, so that was wonderful. He didn't tell me that he was going to put me in it, physically in it, until, I don't know, like 2 days before they showed up or something. So I wasn't prepared for that yet, and I didn't have time to say no. And by then I was kind of already interested in the work. It's really interesting when someone asks you to do a part, you know, to contribute to part of their art, because you're always aware of the fact that this is your, you know, this is Jeremy's work, this is his mahi, this is his thing. So you're trying to do this dance of making a genuine contribution without kind of overstepping and going, nah, this is how I want to do it. You know, so it's a constant dance. Yeah. Especially with Jeremy, because he's so humble, he'll just let you, you know, take more than you actually should. If, you know, he won't push back, he'll go, you know, if I had said, oh, I want to add these lines, then he would have gone, okay, you know. And so I had to keep watching his face to see, does he actually want this? You know? Yeah. And so if you watch, and the longer you work with someone, the more you get to kind of read their expression, and then I could see, oh, nah. Okay, he doesn't want that. Let it go, Albie. Yeah, it was a privilege to be inside someone else's headspace and outside of my own for a moment.
Yeah, I think that was the first that I saw, actually, was like your hands in the glasses, and I was like, oh, is Albie in it? Because I was like, that's not Jeremy's head.
Yeah, no, I think I was like, oh yeah, we'll come over and do some workshopping with the script and see how you sound. And then I was like, oh, by the way, you don't mind being in the film, eh? Oh, and can we use your house too? And we'll yeah, so that was quite funny. I'm pretty sure when your husband turned up and he was like, well, these cameras, he's like, what is going on? Yeah, he just went straight to the other rooms. I'm like, yeah, look at them. Yeah.
Got any questions?
What film did you decide on?
Well, what we decided on, I was very aware that, yeah, I was kind of pushing Jeremy, but Jeremy, I had a really long, multiple conversations with probably Joe, poor Jeremy up the bloody wall. But I kept on saying, look, I'm going to push you, but I can push you because I understand that you will say no. And I've really talked to Jeremy a lot, and I know that I trust him enough that I can really go and push things, and he trusts that I won't get too upset if he says no. So actually, it was Jeremy's decision to shoot black and white film, and he actually did choose the particular stock. And he chose the stock that as soon as he said, right, I'm choosing this stock, I immediately thought, what have I done? There was a lot of technical challenges that had to be overcome, and they again were compounded by COVID and budget. We had 20 minutes of film. That was our budget for 11 minute film. So it's, you've got to be very disciplined. And he chose a film stock that has no latitude. It has a stop of latitude. So, and then maybe we could pull back to the filtering. So maybe, you know, I said to Jeremy, well, I'm going to dive down the rabbit holes of looking, you know, about classic black and white filmmaking. So we needed to think about the sets we used and the filtration that we were going to use. So luckily Jeremy was working at Bunnings in the paint department. So we did a lot of tests. And again, Jeremy made the aesthetic decision on what filtering was going to be primary in black and white cinematography to control contrast in the sky. We either use red, yellow, and a combination of those, or we keep it clean. We tested those, and we came up with an approach. And we came up with an approach where a lot of the time we were shooting this one scene where we basically ran around all of Auckland looking for clouds. Yeah. It was a low angle shot because for some reason every time we shot at Jeremy's, it was perfectly fine. And about 300 metres down the road, it was circle round Jeremy's house. And it's like, But again, this is Jeremy's film. I'm fulfilling the role of a cinematographer, director of photography. All the decisions about that are Jeremy's. So I just presented, well, this is what this is going to look like, and how do you feel about that? And I know we had a lot of time because of COVID. We did a lot of previs. We did a lot of watching, and then choosing the CinemaScope format. Again, it's like, why did I suggest it? You know, because it's technically very challenging. The lenses are very slow. So if you're in a low light situation, it's really tough. But we talked about pushing it. I mean, and it's crazy times, you know, so why not? Why not take some risks, you know? And again, having the benefit of being unemployed for 8 months, I could do a lot of technical sort of research, and including dealing with the grumpy old guy in the lab.
The impacts of the pandemic, you know, we were ordering film from Germany and America. We had no idea how long it was going to take to get to New Zealand. In some cases, we were really surprised that it ended up on our doorstep maybe 2 months later. And like I was saying before, we were already 2 months behind. So we were trying to think, like, if we get our order in now, then we'll get it by the end of the year. Or if we put more orders in, then we'll get those other ones by January. Or so it was a real roller coaster of a project.
And that I had, you know, in my stock fridge, and we had to use it, and it is in the film. So we're using film from 1968. Expiry date. So it was a nightmare to process in the lab because it's very, very delicate. And that's the expiry date. So it's probably 1965. It was made before even I was born. And shit, that's old. There was quite a bit of work in the lab that needed to happen with the formulation of the chemistry to deal with this delicate film.
Does anyone have any final questions or anything final you guys want to say?
No, just... It's like a big sigh of relief, to be honest. Yeah. It's been, close to 18 months of, like, no sleep. No sleep. Making excuses to my wife to say, Ian's coming over, so we're going to be locked in the room for, like, maybe 5 hours. Or, you know, trying to get through, like, post-production. Or, I've just got to travel, 100 kilometres that way and I'll be back tomorrow morning. Or, so, yeah, just it's... I haro I te toa taki tahi, he toa taki tinike. You know, this project doesn't get made by one person. That's one of the biggest things I've appreciated from this project, is to be able to work with a team, which, you know, in the art world, there aren't really many opportunities to work. As an artist, there's not many opportunities that you can work as a team in the way that we've worked. It's very much... like what everyone has kind of said, it's collaboration is a little bit, it kind of smothers this idea that everyone was working at the same time, at the same pace to create something, whereas it was a bit of a dance. You know, one person would push this way, that would cause someone else to push another way, and suddenly that person goes away, another person comes along. And so it's constantly moving and flowing, and sometimes stopping in your tracks and then having to rethink your steps again. So yeah, that's kind of just what I wanted to say, to thank Papa Hunara and Alvi and John and Ian and Tim, and also my whānau and everyone, yourself.
Yeah, I think Abby, really, it comes down to you. There wouldn't be any bloody film if it wasn't for Abby.
You know, I pushed you pretty hard. Like, you know, you'd come back and be like, oh, how's that? I was like, yeah, but now it's this thing. And, now I brought on John, or I brought on Tim, and she's probably thinking, man, it was only supposed to be these two. You know, we need, you know, I don't know how we're going to fund this, but, you know, we need to make it happen. Da 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 da. And then obviously Mihi Atu ki a Mel too, yeah. You know, who's. I mean, I don't know if it's like premature to say, but it's the film's found a home after this, and at that home will be Christchurch Art Gallery. And for me, like, it's important for these works to remain, you know, in the place where that was the root of the kaupapa of the project. I mean, it's, you know, it should be okay if there's a copy up in Te Ika Māori, but this one is rooted in Te Waipounamu. So the fact that it's going to remain here after the show and after we go back to Tāmaki is probably one of the biggest boxes that I wanted to tick. So, yeah, tēnā koe.
Kia ora. E kore mutu ngā mihi ki a koutou katoa. Yo pukinga, yo kaha, yo niharotanga. Kia ora koutou. And I also want to say mihi atu ki a Bernie and Manaya. I think I saw them come in. I was thinking that a lot during the making of this film, like there's a whole lot of whānau that's like standing there as well. So it's really good to have Bernie down here and Manaya. They might be outside. But yeah, thank you guys too for listening. Thanks for coming. And let's go and celebrate the film. That was Jeremy Liazanu, Ian Powell, Huna Raka, and Poata Alvi McCree talking about their work on Jeremy's film, Te Whakawhitinga. The exhibition runs until Friday the 3rd of June. You can watch it at our gallery at 301 Montreal Street in the Art Centre's Registry Editions building. We are open from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Tuesday to Friday and 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. on the weekends. Thank you for listening. And tune in again next month for our next episode of Art, Not Science. Mā te wā!
The Physics Room is generously supported by Creative New Zealand, the Christchurch City Council, the Rata Foundation, Three Boys Brewery, Scientech, and the Crater Rim.